just lays it out, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to finish up our study of Ephesians today. And it occurred to me, I guess last week, that you can really live your Christian life out of the book of Ephesians. I mean, it's one of these books that sort of covers everything, and we can build our life on it. It was a letter they called a circular letter. Some of the scholars said it was a circular letter, and it's because, so it was, it says to the Ephesians on there, so we know that's why it's Ephesians, written to the Ephesian church. But it also, because there's not specific problems with that church mentioned, that everybody felt like it was meant to be spread all over Asia at that time. And of course, we know it's good for other churches, because here we are a couple thousand years later, and it blesses us. Ephesians is full of, I mean, my Bible is worn out in Ephesians. I had a lady one time, remember, Lucy Probst, and they came to church here for years and years, and she said that's all I ever talked out of was Ephesians, that it was always Ephesians. And when we look at this thing and find out that really we see all of these exceeding great and precious promises, and then we see this mystery of who we are and what we have revealed in the first three chapters, and then the next three chapters just talking about how to walk it out and how to do it. It's like we could live off of this, and it is to help all of the churches. You know, like in Corinthians, they talk about this sin or that sin, or, you know, you guys are coming together and you're not doing communion right and all these, but this right here just seems to be an encouragement for all the churches. So the first three chapters, we see a lot of our spiritual riches. In fact, it says in one place that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And so it's almost like it took a revelation from, it absolutely did take a revelation from God for us to get hold, and for these churches to get hold of who they really were and what they really had. And I mean, I don't care if we preach on that for the next 2 years, probably we're still not going to be able to figure out completely how rich God has made us. Anytime the Bible says that you're seated with Him in heavenly places, that's a whole new mystery to figure out right there. So not only are you here, but you're also there. You're there, because that's what the Bible says. It's almost equal to, remember when Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. And then in John it says, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me and I'm in you. There's these mysteries that are ours that, if we could just get hold of them, we would probably maybe live a little bit different. We certainly wouldn't be plagued with fear, knowing that I'm in Christ and He's in me, and there is no greater power than God, the creator of everything, is in us and on us and around us and for us and not against us. That would just make you bold in life. That would just make your life bold if we knew that. Now, I understand life happens and stuff comes and it's easy to get distracted and all, but we should always do what we're encouraged to do here in the book of Ephesians. Even if we do get distracted, just get right back into these things and just begin to rehearse. What we're going to talk about today is put off, renew your mind, and put on. That's one of the things that it says in here. Put off the old man concerning the conduct of the old man. Put it off. And then renew your mind to these exceeding great and precious promises. Put on the new man. And we'll talk about how to do that, because it's just like everything else in the Bible. It's so simple that we sometimes don't do it. It's like I was talking earlier about, you know, there are people who are plagued with worry and depression, and I am not making light of that. I want to just say, I understand that's a big, big deal. But I want to just say, too, that you can't fold under a bunch of drugs, and I'm not saying don't take your drugs. No, don't hear something I'm not saying. I'm just saying there's something else we can do about that besides cave in and go, well, I guess I'm going to be a Xanax man the rest of my life, or a Prozac, or whatever it is. I mean, I'm not saying don't take that stuff, but I'm saying take something else too. Why leave this prescription, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? Why leave this prescription laying on the table and do what the doctor says every time? You know, he says take this one three times a day. We take it three times a day. Well, I'm saying here's a prescription we need to take every day. But let this be a supplemental prescription to the other one. And when you take the other one, take it with some verses. Amen. Take it with some prayer. I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm seated with you in heavenly places right now. And I fully expect that I have soundness of mind. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's me, and that's my confession. And that's what I'm going to say about myself from now on. Even if I have to do something to help me get through this thing, I'm going to get through it and get on the other side. Don't stop the help you're getting, but my gosh, don't leave the most important help of all laying there. I mean, there's something way better than what some scientist can come up with in a lab to make some chemical not shoot across your head like it's supposed to. There's God, and there's the way he's built us. And we're going to, another thing we're going to talk about today is not just consequences, but there's, when we do stuff, there's results, stuff happens. You know, a person says, well, you're gonna live just as long as God says you're gonna live. You know, we figure there's a time to be born and a time to die. We see that in the old covenant. And you think, well, you know, that's God's business. I don't really have anything to do with that. But then you look in the Bible, and all through there it talks about how you can behave a certain way and have long life. In fact, not just a long life, but a long good life. Look right here. We're there now in Ephesians. Look here, because we're there. Look what it says in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to still do a review of all the stuff, but just look at this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and mother, that it'll be well with you, and you live long on the earth. Now, we would say it's diet and exercise. You need to eat right. You cut the fat out of your life. Cut the calories or the carbs or add something or take away something. My gosh, don't smoke that celebratory cigar my insurance company allows you to have. And whatever you do, don't take a drink. That stuff will kill you. And you need to get fresh air every day, and you need to get a good night's sleep. And don't go jogging at night with dark clothes on. You could get hit by a car, and don't get in your car without your seatbelt on, and be sure and wear that and drive the speed limit, and all of these things will cause you to have a long life. Okay? Well, here's what God says. Here's what God, now I'm not saying that, now I'm not going to jog, but I mean, I'm just, if you jog, bless your heart, you jog. The only way I'm jogging is if I'm actually trying to run away from somebody, I might make it up to a jog. Unfortunately, I usually run in about five directions at one time and basically get nowhere. So God says, honor your father and mother, and it'll be, how did it go? It says that it may be well with you, and that may you may live long on the earth. So if you just look quickly at the other side of that, if you don't honor your father and mother, it will not be well with you, and you're not going to live a long time. That, I mean, that's written right there in the Bible. I mean, you can see it on y'all's Bible up there. It's written there. Well, you say, well, I can't honor my parents. They're dead. Well, honor the memory of your parents. Let me let you in on a little secret. Nobody's dead, okay? Nobody's dead. Your parents slipped from here into some other realm where you can't see them, but nobody that's ever born ever stops being a being. Stops being alive. You can honor your father and mother. You could honor the memory of your father and mother. You could pick another father and mother. You can say, well, I never knew my father. Well, pick one. Who raised you? Which teacher? Which counselor? Which person? Which minister? Who helped you out? And just honor them. Walk in this honor, and it'll be, not only will it be well with you, but you live a long time. It could just be that you could honor your father and mother and put on a dark suit and go jogging and survive. It could just be that you could have the fries with your burger and survive. If you honor, I'm not just saying wreck your diet, but if you, hey, let's face it. If it says you can, it'll be well with you and you'll live long, then there's something to that. We're going to look at some more of those too. Amen. So we're going to talk about how there's one about doing communion we'll take a look at. It says, because some people take communion in an unworthy manner. Many are sick and many sleep. You know what sleep means? It ain't taking a nap. Well, some people call it a dirt nap. You know, if taking communion in an unworthy manner can cause you to die early, then what about taking communion in a worthy manner? And what makes you worthy to take communion? You've made Jesus the Lord of your life. So what would make it unfit or unworthy? If you didn't recognize the exceeding great and precious promises, you just gun the juice and the cracker and let's get on with the sermon so I can go have some lunch somewhere. Why not honor the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus and see these blessings come into your life that cause you to be healthy? The communion is the place to get healthy. You got a cracker that everybody knows how to eat, and you got a little cup of juice that everybody knows how to drink, and you got the Word of God, and it represents that, and you could take that in a worthy manner. What would be a worthy manner? Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, I'm doing what's normal for me, and I'm healed, whole, blessed, prosperous, set apart. Salvation is mine. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. God has shown me things to come. I'm seated with Him. You know all these great verses. That's how you take it in a worthy manner. It's not because you did so good this week. There's only about three of us that were perfect this week. It's not that we did so good this week. It's that Jesus did good. And we're in Him. And so we were crucified. So we have been made righteous. With the righteousness of God in Him, the one who knew no sin at all. And so that's how we take communion in a worthy manner. We declare about us what He says about us. What we talk about His view and opinion. Amen? His view and opinion is the one that matters. Our view and opinion, if it doesn't line up with His, will wreck our lives. It will. You know, you could have the view and opinion right now. Well, I hear the pastor talking and he said all these things, but I'm not going to open my mouth and talk to depression. Well, you'll have what you decide to settle for. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling with something, you'll open up your mouth and talk to it, you'll see some changes. And that goes for every sickness and disease. Don't ever cuddle up beside that and put a warm blanket on it and just become the most pitiful person in the household needing some soup. I know we all need love. But get your love when you're healthy. Amen. That could be a whole sermon series. Get your love when you're healthy. Be a marriage, maybe a marriage thing. You know what I'm saying? On we go. So we'll do a little review here. Amen. What you do can make a big difference. And I would say this, usually the Christians are the ones who will say, basically just turn that over to being some spiritual thing that we can't understand. But the Bible says you can extend your life. You can. All you can do is honor your parents. Take communion right, and a couple other things. And a bunch of other stuff that's in here, right? Ephesians was for all the churches. In chapter 1, we're blessed, highly favored. We're His body. We're gathered in Him. He gathered us in Him. Chapter 2, we're alive out of darkness, saved by grace, and seated with Him in heavenly places. Chapter 3, we're heirs of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is the mystery that's revealed. All of these things are ours, and we wouldn't know if it wasn't revealed to us. Chapter 4, walking in unity. Terrence taught us on that. Walking in unity, we need what each part of the body supplies. And even though we might not trust somebody or we might not like their view and opinion, I tell you, there's a higher calling than just liking somebody and trusting them and getting along with them. There's this call of God. Amen? And that'll always, being offended with somebody will always interfere with fulfilling the call of God in your life. Just every time. You say, well, I'm not like these other people. I can't hear from God. Well, just go back and examine yourself. Who are you holding something against? What kind of unforgiveness you got in your life? Do you need to call your son or your mom or your daughter, or do you need to call your neighbor, or do you need to get something straight with somebody? That's what Terrence was talking about. Get on the phone and get something straight with somebody. Don't allow hard-headedness to hinder the blessings of God and the plan of God. Because, really, if you're offended, it just stifles this whole thing. You ever just been in a, you ever just tried to be spiritual when you and your spouse are in a feud? You better go get the feud settled, Hatfield and McCoy, and get where you're going to be effective for God. It's just the way it is. If you have anything against anybody, go to them. And then it says, if anybody has anything against you, go to them. So the rule of the house is go to them. Go to them. You know, and it gets a little extreme when it says, don't even leave your offering, because I'm kind of thinking, hey, leave your offering and then go, you know. Get it straight first. Get those things straight. And so we need to walk in unity. And then last week, walking in love, light, and wisdom. And what happens is, even in these prayers, we begin to realize what we have rather than getting more from God. You know, that's kind of a tricky thing we've got there where we really feel like we need some healing from God. But God sort of feels like he already healed you. And so, and I know sickness hurts, and I know pain is terrible, and it's horrible, and I get that. But at some point, we've got to say, who's right, me or God? And if God says, by his stripes you were healed, then you have to come at this thing not as though you're trying to take the mountain, but that the mountain's already yours and you're just fending off sickness. You know, that's war talk, right? You know, if you hold the mountain, a few people can hold a mountain against a big army. You know, and they can come, but man, if you got the mountain, it's hard. But I tell you, if you're trying to take the mountain, now you got some struggles. If you're trying to take sickness, listen, he already took the healing for you. If you're trying to take healing, you're trying to take something you've already got. And it requires a crazy way of calling those things that be not as though they were. It causes us to, by faith, speak out things. And you know what? If you've been watching any TV at all, you know there's no danger of you seeming crazier than the world is right now. You can just be as Christian crazy as you want to be right now, and you'll be the mild one in Walmart. You know what I'm saying? It's just so crazy out there, it's a blessing for the Christians, because we can get out there and talk in tongues right in Walmart, and people will say, yep, he belongs right here on the bread aisle. We could be raising the dead in Walmart and nobody would think. They'd wheel the basket right around you and keep on going. The Walmartians would. We become on the outside who God has already made us on the inside. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4 and we're going to look at verse 22. I want to go ahead and read these, verse 22 through 24. It says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We've got to concede that if he says put off the old man according to the conduct, then if he told us we can do it, then we can do it. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have our minds renewed, change our mind. That's what repentance really is. You know, repentance isn't crawling down here and being all sad about something. Repentance is when you change your mind. That's what repentance is. I was lost, but now I'm found. That's repentance. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and in true holiness. So in verse 22, it says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt. Now, that word corrupt is the Greek word thyro, maybe. That's how I got it. And I even looked it up on the computer. It says thyro, I think, is how you say that, the Greek word for corrupt. And it means this. Now, remember, we're talking about the benefit of following the instructions that are found in these three verses, which are put off, renew your mind, and put on. Every Christian, every believer can do it. It's written to the Ephesians, which is written to all of us. Put off the old man, renew your mind, put on the new man. Every one of us can do that. Here's what happens right here. Here's what's going on with the old man. Now remember, you've already been born again. There's already a new man in there. We just need to put on the new man and put off the old man. It comes about renewing our mind, changing our mind. It says in verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt. Well, you see that word corrupt, and it can mean a million things. But if you look up the Greek word, this thyro, it means this, moral decay on the way down to final ruin. So your old man ain't doing you no favors when you're dragging him around with you. You say, well, Pastor, I want to hang on to my old man. I want to hang on to some of these old habits. Well, hang on to them then. You can do anything you want to do. But here's what the old man's doing to you. He's bringing you down for the count. Amen. It's just true. Put on the new man. I'm not even talking about quitting Twinkies. I'm talking about begin to say about you what God says about you. Amen? Begin to say about you what God says about you. Put off all that old, oh, woe is me, too much month at the end of the money, I'm sick as a dog and getting sicker, I'll probably never make it, we'll probably get laid off. Stop all that. Put that old man off. Put off that behavior. And amen. Somebody said amen. All right. Strong's, it says, of that word corrupt, it says to remove strength, to wither, to spoil, to ruin, to defile and destroy, to waste away, moving down from a higher level. Anybody know about the funeral business? Moving down. Amen. So you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt or is killing you, be renewed in your mind to these exceeding great and precious promises, and then put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. So how would you do that? Well, we've already talked about it probably too much today, and that is you do it with your mouth. You have to do these things with your mouth. You can't do them thinking. So how would you put off the old man? Simply identify what that part of the old man is. We all know, don't you know? Don't you know the stuff, the crap you're doing you need to stop? We all do, don't we? Oh, it's quiet in here today, but I think everybody knows. In fact, I'm not trying to just get you to think about that thing you've been doing right now or that unforgiveness you've been holding or that thing you've been stealing from work or how you've been nasty to your wife or husband. I don't even want you to think about how you've been treating your kids or whether you're doing a good job at work or you're stealing pencils and pens from the plant or, you know, a pair of pliers or whatever, you know, just, you know. Whether you've ever decided to honor God with your finances, do you witness, do you pray? I'm not talking about all that. I don't want you to even think about that. See, that was kind of a trick there, wasn't it? So everybody's got it now, right? You got the thing. Well, you pick that thing out and you say, you know what? That's no longer me. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I put that off. Now, in the midst of doing that, you got you a scripture that shows you. That's what you renew your mind by, the washing of the water of the word. So I'm going to get me a scripture, and this is what I'm going to begin to say about me. That, and that's how you put it on. You begin to say about you what God says about you. Put it off, put it on. And I tell you what, we think that there's some sort of honor or spirituality in being sick. No, it's not. It's not. You see? It's not. I tell you what's a spiritual thing. It's to get healed and whole and go out and lead somebody to the Lord and be a witness in our community and be a giver and be a blessing to everybody. Do you want to talk about spiritual? Get healed and go do something. Get healed and go tell everybody else how to get healed. You say, well, I don't know how to get healed. I just told you how to get healed. Say about you what God says about you. And if we would be honest, you know, you always got to be honest with ourselves. We got to be honest with ourselves and just take a little inventory of what it is that you've been saying. And I can tell you 100% what you've been saying is what's coming to pass in your life. Change what you say, you'll have you'll change your results. Okay. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Well, we talked about communion. Let's go over there and let's go look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 11. Hey, I mean, I'm talking to me too, so I mean, it's not like I'm just saying I got all this together. I wouldn't dream of saying that. I mean, I know I said there's three of us who did perfect all week long, but I think you know I was just kidding. You know, I was pretty close, but I wasn't even close, really, not even close. And every time I think I've arrived, my head ends up where my feet were a little while ago, and just about the time I think I'm super spiritual, I'm listening to myself say something that's so ridiculous that I can't even imagine it's coming out. And then I just have to do the same as everybody else. Just repent, turn away from that, put off that old man, put on the new man. Amen? Amen. Well, this won't cover my case because I've got really something. Listen, you ain't surprised God with anything. He knows the whole story. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 11:27, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself and let him eat the bread and drink the cup. I don't think we're going to talk about that anymore because I think I already talked about it. And I think the way we would take the cup in a worthy manner is like we talk about every time we serve communion. Examine yourself in light of the finished work of Jesus and what he's done. Take it in a righteous way. And that's declaring that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. So in Ephesians 6:8, whatever good anyone does, he'll receive the same from the Lord. We looked at that. And we need to understand that when we're in a church that preaches grace, which this one is, we need to understand that grace is the most precious message that we have. Grace is God's ability. Grace is God saying, I'm doing this for you. You have my favor, and I'm not just in favor of you doing well, but I'm giving you the power to do well, to live this life. Grace lives in our heart. The Spirit of God lives in our heart, and it's this grace that gives us the ability, God's ability, to live this life. So grace is not some license to sin. That's just crazy. There is no such thing as that. You know, now there is mercy, which is really not getting the punishment you deserve. God gives you mercy. But that's really not what grace is. That grace is a totally different. Grace is God's ability that works in you. It's the unmerited favor of God that works in you, causing you to be able to do what he's called you to do. So we remember this right here in Ephesians chapter 2. It is by grace we were saved through faith. In verse 8, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we could put it like this: we're saved by grace, but we're created for good works. Normal for us is good works, doing good. And you say, well, I don't have to do good and God will still love me. Sure he will. But that's not what we're created for. Who you are is created for good works, for doing good things. Have you ever noticed that you long to do good things, that you long to be a blessing to somebody, and that you really kind of hate it when you make a mistake and you're not, you know, not helpful to somebody or something? I mean, you see somebody in need and it's who you are. You're drawn to help the person. Why? Because the one who created you for good works, for going about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That's who we are. That's our Lord who's on the inside of us, and we're in him. Amen. So we see all this kind of summed up in Ephesians 6:10. How we do this is in Ephesians 6:10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, we're finishing up the book of Ephesians, and this is right on the last page of it, and it's told us, the Apostle Paul has told us all of these things, and then he says this word, he says, finally, let me lay this out to you because this is what you need to understand. Finally, my brethren, finally, faith fellowship, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, we're not going to be able to just do everything apart from him, but the good news is we're not apart from him. We're never apart from him. He never leaves us. So here he is, here we are, and we can do all the things that we're called to do through Christ who gives us strength. His strength is on the inside of us, and that's exactly what grace is his strength. Amen? Hallelujah. So now I want to close this message in the next few minutes by looking at the armor of God. Now, the one thing that I do a little bit different than a lot of people do about looking at the armor of God is this. See, when you see these verses, in fact, let's go ahead and just read them. It's several verses right now. And it says in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. One of the things that's easy to do when you look at such a graphic illustration as comparing these things to the armor of God. You know, there's a guy who wrote an incredible book, Rick Renner wrote a book called Dressed to Kill, and it talks about all the weapons of a Roman soldier, and you know, and he talks about, you know, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He talks about the shoes that were on their feet and how they were, even the shoes were weapons and they could do all of these things, and how important that is to have to do with the gospel of peace and all of these things, and the shield of faith and the breastplate, and he could talk about how heavy that was, and boy, you just get all of this visual of a Roman soldier, a big bad Roman soldier who can go out and just kick everybody's butt, you know, this big awesome guy. But you can easily forget that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's our war is not against flesh and blood. Whoever's ticked you off, that person's not your enemy. It's principalities and powers, and it's the spiritual things. It's stuff you can't see. Our warfare is in the heavenlies, and the good news is the warrior, the lion of the tribe of Judah is our king and our master. And so we don't worry about, the battle's already been won. And as long as we'll side up with the master rather than siding up with our crazy thoughts, then we'll have victory. But if you think about all those shields and breastplates and all that stuff, you can easily forget what our weapons specifically are. There's seven of them named there. One of them, just getting away from the illustration of the armor, let's just look at what those weapons really are. The weapons that are effective in this spirit realm where the real warfare takes place. And you could also say, when you say the spirit realm, you could also say the spirit realm. You know, because we're pretty significant, you know. We love our dogs, we love our cats. You know, somebody said, will there be cats in heaven? I said, well, it wouldn't be heaven if there weren't cats there. Got that from Pastor Holland. You know, I said, that's a good answer right there. But I'm going to tell you, you're much more valuable than anything else. Made in the image and the likeness of God. We're like God. The Bible says when you see him, doesn't say he's going to look like a cat or your dog, even though we love our dogs and our cats, especially cats. It says when you see him, you'll be like him. So we're made in his image and in his likeness. We're very, very important to God. Actually, he never said of Fido, he's my son. But he says to you, you're my beloved son. You're my child. In fact, he never said I'm one with a cat. Or let's just make it a neutral thing. He never said I'm one with a potbelly pig or an English bulldog. He says I'm one with you. We're very important is all I'm saying. So we're real important. And these are the things that work in this economy that God has placed us in. Number one is truth. It's truth. It's the truth, the word of God that sets us apart. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So one of our weapons is truth. Another weapon is righteousness. This right standing with God we've been talking about. And I want to just tell you that if you don't come from a place of righteousness, of knowing and being grounded in your righteousness, that's probably too much to say, but it's going to be hard to get this to work in your life if you don't understand he's made you righteous. Because we're so undeserving in the natural, but he's made us deserving. You know, many times that's our prayer, oh God, I'm so unworthy. That's a ridiculous prayer for the one you're talking to the person who made you worthy. I know you made me worthy, but I'm unworthy. You hear me? Unworthy. And so, you know, it's like we began to study a few months ago. We were talking about trying to reconcile the Old Testament and some of the stuff that you see God do in the Old Testament. And you go, wait a minute, loving God and all these people are getting wiped out. And so it's actually a very interesting thing to look at, you know. There's a book we were reading called Cross Vision where this guy goes in and he looks at all those things and tries to sort of, you know, because that's scripture. The Old Testament is scripture. It's not fake. I mean, it's scripture. But then you see things that don't seem characteristic with God. And what we decided is our safety net, of course, is Jesus is the express image of God. He's the exact likeness. In fact, when you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So anything that I see anywhere in my life or in the Bible that doesn't line up with the love of Christ, I'm going to say either, one, I don't understand it, I'm not getting the full story, I don't see it, you know, I'm not seeing it just right or whatever, because the representation of God that I have is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the one who is perfect was made sin for me on my behalf, and so now I'm righteous, and I can't say anything else about myself except I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm as righteous as God himself. God himself is no more righteous than Jerry Jutras. Not one bit. Just checking. Lightning could, you know. You know what? That doesn't put you in danger of lightning. That makes God say, I think he's starting to understand this. Because just yesterday he was whining and moaning, but he just stood up in the pulpit and said, I'm as righteous as God. He's finally starting to get it. Sent my son to be beaten, slaughtered like an animal so he would get hold of that, and he seems to be getting it. And it's a jumping off place. If you don't know that he's made you righteous, it's hard to receive all these other things. Amen. So we need to be, that's one of the weapons is truth. One of the weapons is righteousness. Another weapon, I'm hurrying, is the gospel of peace. You know, the war is over. There's no division between us and God. Ephesians 2 and verse 14, it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Verse 17. Go ahead. Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who were near. So not only do we have truth and righteousness, we also have peace. Anytime I sign a letter, I always put grace and peace, because that's what Paul put down there. I mean, think about that. You're going along reading a letter, and the last thing it says is grace, which is one of the most beautiful words in the English language. Grace and peace. Man, I tell you what. That's why Paul said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. Amen? Okay, so the gospel of peace. Next, so with truth, righteousness is the weapon. Gospel of peace is the weapon. Faith. Believing and acting on the Word of God apart from the evidence of the senses. That's what faith is. Faith is what we've been talking about the whole time we've been here, which is believing and acting on something there's no proof of in the natural. The proof is found in the Word of God, and you establish the proof by piling up your stones. You know, you pile your stones up, and that's your proof. So you don't want to be 5 years from now facing something and you don't have a journal or a pile of stones. You don't want to not be able to go back and look, well, he met my need here. He came through here. He always comes through here. He always comes through there. Pastor Chris and Kim going, there's going to be plenty of times where they're going to have to look back and go, he met it here. He met it here. He met it here. He met it here. It seems like I'm not getting it, but he did, and he always does. That's right. Amen. And how long before we stop doubting that he will meet our every need? Not based on us, not based on our giving, not based on our goodness, but based on his goodness, he meets our needs according to his riches and glory by and through Christ Jesus. So then salvation, we talked about that earlier too. This is not just go to heaven when you die. It's all the blessings, both temporal and eternal, blessed, healed, delivered, prospered, set apart right here and also throughout eternity. And eternity doesn't start when you kick the bucket. Eternity's already going. That's why I said you can honor your parents right now. They're somewhere. Honor them. Hey, they're somewhere, and so are you. The Bible says you're not just here, you're in heaven. Well, maybe they are too. Maybe you could honor them right here, and it would come through in heaven. I don't, my dad never listened to me really when I was here, so I don't think he would listen to me now. But I honor him, though. Where's Mom? Hey, what an honorable person that is. God bless you, Mother. I'm working on that heart murmur I had. I'm trying to get myself healthy. I'm honoring. I'm pouring on the honor, man. I'm just, on we go. So salvation. Next, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Big mistake we can make is to think that this is the Word of God. This is the holy written Word of God, but Jesus is the living Word of God. He's the one who's writing this Word in our hearts. So thank God for the Bible, and the Bible is really important. You know, the Bible is really important. Thank God for the Word of God. But we need to remember the Word of God is a person, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. And that's a weapon that lives on the inside of us. And then finally, prayer for all of us. Prayer. It says in the last verse there, it says, and pray for all of us. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, which is what we've been talking about. So here we are at the end of Ephesians. That prayer is for us right there, and now we know the mystery of the gospel. And our prayer is that we would be bold, not just to have more head knowledge of the book of Ephesians. There's so much Bible in our head. If you tip us sideways, Bible verses run out of our ears. But to begin to take this thing and be bold with this mystery. See where it said mystery? Be out of, take the mystery. It's a mystery to the whole world, the goodness of God. And we need boldness to step out there. So that's a prayer for us. Bow your heads with me for just a second.
We'll be right back.